Back to Intentional Grounding. I'm Robert Walonski of the Dallas Morning News, and I am joined, as I am every week, by my good friend, the great David Moore of the Dallas Morning News. And we do have a special guest joining us now in this segment. As promised, David is going to introduce to you now someone he pesters on a daily basis. David?
Well, I'm really struck by the fact that NFL coaches live in a world where they're constantly second-guessed. Their decisions are always called into question. But I think the biggest question with our guest is, why in the world would he agree to come on for a second consecutive season? So I guess now we can ask that, because our guest this evening is Dallas Cowboys head coach Jason Garrett.
I guess the answer is because I had such a good time the first time I did it.
Oh, that's the best answer possible.
How you guys doing?
Great. How are you doing, Jason?
Fantastic.
Well, we'd kind of keep the same format as last year, I think, where we hit you with two or three football questions and then get into something a little different. We may delve into movies this year, but let's start with the news of the day. We're not going to rehash a lot of the stuff, because we played what you said in the press conference with Mo Claiborne today and did what Mo has said as well. But I'd like to go back to one thing. During training camp, Morris Claiborne was talking about how he knows he has to be better, how he knows he has to practice and get through to develop. And he said, I'm not accepting anything less than great for myself. My question would be, has Morris Claiborne displayed the discipline and the mental toughness that will allow him to achieve that goal?
Well, Mo Claiborne, just like anybody else, he's trying to get better every day, and that's on the field, that's off the field, how he acts as a player, how he acts as a human being. So, I think when we're talking about this incident that happened here in the last 24 hours, clearly he didn't handle it the right way. And, we addressed it with him. He addressed it head on, both with me and with his teammates, and we're moving on. And, Mo's worked very hard up to this point. He's had to deal with a couple injuries through training camp in the early part of the season. He's a competitor. He wants to become a better player. He wants to help our football team. That's a work in progress, just like it is for everybody else. So, we certainly believe in Mo. We believe that he can become a better player and become a strong contributor to our team. The idea is just come to work every day and get better. Work at your techniques, work at understanding the game, and develop your skills to be a great corner in this league. And that's what we ask all our players to do.
You know, Jason, David likes to say that this is a resilient team. Maybe some folks would say that three consecutive 8-8 seasons would argue otherwise, but this season there does really seem to be, at least from the outside, something different in both the team and in you. One could even argue that we have seen some public peaks of the Jason Garrett that we have been told time and again exists outside of the view of the camera. Do you think that is in fact true, and is that conscious on your part, or is that just something that has been born out of several seasons of trying to get out of this same pattern?
Oh, I think there's a lot there to try to answer.
That was the idea.
I think we've been a resilient team for a few years now. And resilience to me is all about, coming back from adversity. And I think we've demonstrated that within games, over courses of games, throughout the last few years. What we're trying to develop is a team that's mentally tough, that's physically tough, that's relentless, and that can handle adversity, that's going to play together and ultimately do what we need to do to win games on Sunday and win enough games to become the team we want to be. That's a work in progress, and that comes from the kind of people we bring in here as players and coaches, and then just the work that we put in each and every day. So, I think we've tried to become a younger team. We've tried to become a team that is made up of guys who have all those traits that I just described. And it's been a very conscious effort to do that over the past few years, bring the right kind of guys together, guys who love to play football, guys who are physically, mentally tough, and are going to be the kind of team we want to be. So having said all that, I feel like we've demonstrated resilience this year at different times over the course of these three games. If you think about, some of the things that happened early on in that San Francisco game with us turning the ball over, our guys just kept battling. And then obviously we didn't get the result that we wanted, but there were a lot of good things – that we took away from that game. I think it told us, you know, what kind of team we can be when you watch certain parts of that tape. And then it also told us some of the things that we must do and the things that we cannot do. And I think our guys responded well to, you know, our evaluation of that game. And again, we're resilient coming back the next week. And then the following week, certainly within that game, being down 21 points to St. Louis, I think we demonstrated that again. Now, it's always a work in progress. We always can be better at everything that we do. We certainly can be better in that category individually and as a group, and we'll continue to try to grow in that area.
Yeah, but some, you know, there was during the, I want to say the Tennessee game, there was a, there were a few moments the camera cut to you, and it looked like there were, I don't know, there were some, I don't want to say signs of life. That sounds disparaging, but there were some moments, especially after the Rolando.
More demonstrative.
Huh?
More demonstrative.
More demonstrative. How's that? The more the when the interception that should have been the touchdown, you were obviously infuriated by that. There have been some moments, I would argue, in the last couple of weeks especially, where you have been caught, at least on camera, being the Jason Garrett that we have been told exists outside of the press conferences, where you are certainly a little more guarded than you would be with the guys or when you're out of the public's view. Is that accurate?
Well, I think that's for other people to decide. You know, I have a great passion for this game, a great passion for this football team, and, you know, that probably gets demonstrated a lot of different ways over the course of the day. And, you know, I think it's important to understand, you know, when you're in a position like I'm in, who you're speaking with in a press conference. And a lot of people maybe are drawn to guys who kind of fly off the handle and overly emotional trying to address questions. You know, that's not going to be me. If you're looking for that, you're probably not going to find it in me. The best coaches and the best leaders I've been around really don't do that. I think they have a poise and a composure about them and handling the different ups and downs that go with this position. And certainly when you stand there at the podium, that's the bare minimum expectation that I would have for myself and other people. But having said that, there's plenty of opportunity to demonstrate passion in the job that I have. If you don't have that, you probably are doing the wrong thing. You know, we really demand that from all of our coaches and all of our players, and it starts with me. I love the game. I love coaching. I love the team we're putting together, and I love my job. I wake up in the morning, and I can't wait to get to work. I can't wait to get in the shower, get my gear on, and come on into work and continue to build this football team. And hopefully I demonstrate that passion and emotion and enthusiasm really each and every day in doing this job to the best of my ability.
Okay.
Yeah, along those lines, since we're going here, so in our quest to show you're not as bland as you purposely come across in your news conferences, you said something last week, I believe, that came out of the blue, where you said that Heaven Can Wait is the third best film all time. So, Robert, I'll turn this over to you. Do we want to focus on Heaven Can Wait now? Do we want to give Jason Garrett's top five countdown list?
Well, first of all, I don't know if it's one of the top three movies of all time, but it is one of my favorite movies, and I thought about it.
I'm not sure it's a top three Warren Beatty movie.
Did you,
much less?
Well, did you blurt it? Did you mention that because of the fact you guys were playing the Rams? Is that why it came out?
Well, it came out for a few different reasons, and I think, you know, David Moore's statement needs some clarification. It came out as we were speaking about officiating, and I expressed a frustration that I have with officials is when they invent a call, meaning they anticipate something's going to happen without seeing it happen. And I think it applied to the Rolando McClain interception.
Right.
If you don't see it physically hit the ground, you should assume that it did not hit the ground, and you shouldn't blow the whistle. And it has everything to do with Joe Pendleton driving through a tunnel in Heaven Can Wait, and the new way station Angel came down, and he got in there too early. And for those of you who haven't seen the movie, you don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But
Buck Henry plays it.
Yeah, essentially, Warren Beatty plays this quarterback, Joe Pendleton, for the Los Angeles Rams. He's getting a chance to start against the Cowboys on Sunday. He's riding his bicycle to work, and he's going through this tunnel, and there's a truck that's coming the other way. And the assumption is that he can't see the truck can't see him, and the truck's going to run him over. But they forget the fact that he's an athlete, and he's going to be able to react at the last second. So this way station Angel comes down and kind of pulls his soul out of his body too quickly. So, you know, it's a long story, but that's the premise of the movie. And so, again, the essence of it is you got to wait till the outcome before you step in. And sometimes that happens with officials, and that I think that's a frustrating experience for all of us. So anyway, that goes to why I brought the movie up. And then the next part of this thing is, I don't know that I ever said it's the top three movie of all time.
Oh, yes, you did.
Oh, you did.
Yes,
you did.
If I said that, I made a mistake. What I meant to say was...
You misspoke.
What I meant to say, it's my top three movie. I'm not saying if I went to a film class, I would argue that this is a top three movie of all time, like people say Citizen Kane and some of the others.
It's not 400 Blows.
I say it's one of my top three movies. My top three movies. One of my favorites.
All right,
if that makes any sense.
It does. That's absolutely fair enough. By the way, you're listening to Intentional Grounding and with Coach Jason Garrett, and we're talking about Heaven Can Wait. That's why we played. Someone asked me why we were playing the Heaven Can Wait soundtrack when we came back from break. There was a very specific reason why, and it's one of my favorite movies, by the way, as well. I've seen it probably 50 or 60 times, and mostly for the fact that Julie Christie is extraordinary in that film. But it's absolutely fair that it's one of your top three movies. What are your other two?
Well, I think Casablanca is probably my favorite movie of all time. It's just as good as it gets, and I think you probably could make a compelling argument in that movie class that it is one of the top three movies of all time, beyond just one of my favorites. And, you know, I have a hard time thinking the original Rocky movie's not up there. There are many others, more recent ones and older ones that belong in this, my three favorites. And people who know me know that when I say, you know, it's one of my three favorite movies, they know that I have about 20 of those. So I would say off the top of my head for you guys right now, it's Casablanca, it's Rocky, it's Heaven Can Wait.
How does Casablanca get to the top if Rocky and Heaven Can Wait are two and three?
Well, just have you seen the movie?
Yes.
it's just genius. I don't know that there's a bad line in the whole movie. Every scene is perfect. Bogart's outstanding. It's just genius from start to finish.
See, David maintains that you love Heaven Can Wait because it's the story of a backup quarterback who leads the team to a Super Bowl victory.
Well, there's a certain perspective I had when I was when I first saw that movie. And I think the recurring line, I don't know that I'll get it exactly right, but the idea of someone trying to do something in their life and, you know, having a hard time getting a chance to do that. And then when you get a chance, this kind of thing happens. And so that resonated with me a long time ago when I first saw the movie.
Did you like the original film, Here Comes Mr. Jordan, the film upon which it's based?
You know, I think I saw that, you know, after the fact, and it was intriguing to me because of that idea that it was based on one of these movies that I consider one of my favorites. And I don't know that it really resonated with me that much. And the fact, I don't even remember it that well.
Is it because it was, the thing I guess I was going to tweet a picture from Heaven Can Wait because Austin Davis was playing like he was inhabited in by Joe Pendleton for the first quarter of that game the other day. If I kept waiting for Mr. Jordan to show up. And
you had it ready.
I did. I had it all ready. It felt like we were watching a remake of a remake of a remake at that point. When you play the Rams, does Heaven Can Wait go through your mind at any point?
I don't know that it does. But there are so many great lines in this movie. You know, I mean, just this idea that Joe Pendleton becomes Arthur Farnsworth, and now he's the billionaire who owns the team, but he wants to play quarterback. He has all these butlers who are saying, you know, would you like a hat? You know, he says, never show me another hat. Do I like hats? You know, he goes on and on about all these different things. He likes to drink the liver and whey shakes. It becomes a love story with Julie Christie, which I think is fantastic. You know, Jack Warden, the trainer, is an unbelievable figure in the movie. There are just so many levels of this thing that is so enjoyable to me. You know, he's throwing routes in the backyard of the palatial mansion. You know, it's fantastic on so many levels. So.
How did Rocky edge that out to get to number two? And I assume you mean Rocky, not Rocky Horror Picture Show.
No, the original Rocky is genius. I mean, how can you deny that? I mean, it just, again, for so many different reasons. I mean, you think about this guy, Sylvester Stallone, who writes this movie. It's his first thing. He stars in it, and it's absolutely raw, but it just... If you saw that movie for the first time in the theater, if it didn't grab you, you probably don't have a pulse. It was remarkably good. And I think they got worse as it went on, but the original is something else. And, you know, when he's up in the morning and he's breaking the eggs into a glass and he's drinking it and he's running through the streets of Philadelphia in his black Converse with Butkus and Cuff and Link, the pet shop dames, turtles, you know, all that stuff. I mean, it's just so good for so many different reasons.
Well, you know, last year we talked about Dylan and Springsteen. We talked about the fact that you did your thesis on Dylan. I assume you took film classes. You certainly, I mean, these are films. We all have films we like. We all have films we study. We all have movies we memorize in some way, shape, or form. I assume that this love affair with film, and these are films you clearly know very well. I mean, was this something you also studied, you also paid a great deal of attention to, or is it simply the affections of a fan?
Oh, I think it's a fan, but I love movies. My wife and I love going to movies, and, you know, there's so many great movies that are out there, you know, through the years. I mean, I can think of literally dozens off the top of my head that would fall into this top three category for me, and, you know, it's hard not to enjoy going to a movie theater and getting yourself lost in a movie that's done well and somehow, some way touches you and makes you think. You know, it's one of the great art forms there is.
But, so, you know, some of my favorite movies, I would argue that many of my favorite movies are about writers, they're about journalism. Two of your top three films happen to deal with sports in this particular instance. Do you find that there are movies that speak very specifically to the things that you go through, your struggles, whether it's, you know, when you were playing or as a coach now, or that they may have some sort of tie-in to that aspirational?
I think sports movies resonate with me because it's been such a big part of my life. But I think if you look at those movies, Heaven Can Wait at the end of the day is a love story. And I think you can make an argument that Rocky is too. So I think those are human emotions that people have, and hopefully they resonate with anybody. I mean, I think about a movie like Shawshank Redemption, which I think is just sheer genius. And, you know, obviously nothing to do with sports, but touches a lot of different human emotions, and hard not to watch that movie and be touched in some way, and be inspired in many ways. So, you know, I don't know that it's all about sports. I think it's about more being a human being.
If you and Brill were able, if you did go on a movie binge before training camp started and things really got underway again, one, did you? Two, what were some of the last movies you saw, and anyone stick out in particular to you?
Wow. You know, I lose track of time a little bit, so right. I can't remember the last movie that I've seen. Offer me some suggestions. I just can't remember.
Well, that's not necessarily as important as the fact that
Gravity, something like that.
I have not seen Gravity. It seemed like it
Dallas
was...
Dallas Buyers Club?
Did see Dallas Buyers Club. Thought it was really good.
I mean, do you find that you're drawn to older films? I mean, we talked about... Certainly Casablanca would be one of the great films of all time. We talk about Citizen Kane. I assume you studied some of them as well. I mean, when you were at Princeton, I assume that there is some of that that takes place. I know I studied film in college, not having any intention of being a film student. But it certainly was something I really enjoyed. I guess so.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't take any film classes in college. I would have liked to. There was a music class that a lot of football players took, and it was called Clapping for Credit. but, you know, there was Rocks
How did you
for
do?
Jocks, Rocks for Jocks, Clapping for Credit, you know, those kind of things. So, anyway, I didn't get a chance to do that, but I've always loved movies. And, you know, one of the amazing things that's going on, I don't know, in the last 10 or so years is TV is remarkably good. And you think about all these shows that are on, these series that are on these cable stations, like Homeland and that whole genre of stuff, I think is just off the charts good.
Are you a Breaking Bad fan?
You know, I haven't watched Breaking Bad. I haven't seen one episode of it, but obviously everybody loves it. At some point, I'm going to try to catch up on that in my life. But everyone just seems to think that's fantastic. And I love the guy who stars in it.
Do you have much time for all these diversions? I mean, obviously during the season you don't, but I assume that in the weeks and months leading up to it and after it, that maybe you want to decompress after the season and watch TV. But I guess I don't imagine that you're a guy who sits around watching much television.
Oh yeah, I don't watch a whole lot of TV, but you know the Homeland thing. We're literally at the end of the season. I'll watch 8 episodes over the course of a weekend. You know that kind of a thing to kind of catch up on it. But you know, I think those kinds of things I think are really good. And again, back to the idea of you know this medium, movies and these series that seem almost like movies. I think they're fantastic, and people are clearly doing some great stuff with them.
Are you looking forward to the Lost Basement tapes coming out? Back to music for one second. They're going to issue all the Basement tapes, the Dylan and the band stuff. I assume you're excited about that.
Well, I didn't even know that. He's a pretty significant figure in music and one of my favorites. So at some point I'd love to kind of hear that. And, again, technology kind of catching up with all this great old work. I think is fantastic. One other thing that I haven't seen but 15 minutes of it, that I'm excited to get to at some point is this Roosevelt thing that was on PBS. I don't know if you guys have seen any of that.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, the whole Ken Burns thing, I think, is off the charts. And, just the presentation of that. I saw a little bit of the Teddy Roosevelt thing, and I saw a little bit of one of the last episodes, the Eleanor Roosevelt stuff. And I just think it's really off the charts and can't wait to kind of get into that at some point in the off season.
Well, good. So you're not just watching game film, you're watching the Roosevelts. I like that. That's
About 20 minutes of it.
Hey, that's better than none.
Well, Jason, we could go on here, but our producer is glaring at us, and Rich Dalrymple's probably glaring at you, saying they weren't supposed to keep you this long. So we appreciate it, but not with movies. But I did hear one thing I wanted to hit you with here at the end. Were you known as Jay Jeezy in your time with the New York Giants?
Where'd you get that? I actually was known as Jay Jeezy. And, the Giant guys that I stay in touch with still call me that, every one of them. When I get text from, it's J-G-Z.
So, and how did you get that?
You're so gangsta.
Yeah, I have no idea how that happened, but that kind of was coined early on in my time there, and everybody seemed to gravitate towards it. So I guess it's going to stick with me the rest of my life.
Well, Jason, we appreciate you doing this. David always gets to say thanks and wish you well. But I do appreciate you doing this. It's always nice to have you on Intentional Grounding at least once a year. Hopefully we can do it again sooner than later.
I say this very sincerely. I really enjoy being on with you guys, and hopefully it was enjoyable for you. But I can't thank you enough for including me in this.
You bet. Thanks for doing it, and we'll do it soon. Thanks.
Thank you, Jason. You guys have a great night.
You too. That's the great Jason Garrett joining us here talking about film, talking a little bit about music, and even some football.